Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lorddaul.podbean.com, or you are at the most efficient way to get the podcast, enter Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into the action. Originally, I wanted to stop and break down all the the stadium champions, and just kind of talk about them as far as, you know, who they are, why to follow, what to pay attention to. But I was sidetracked because there was a lot of news that came out of Japan, basically with cards being announced, with fights being announced, with super fights being avoided. And then, of course, the everything always goes back to Tenshin Nasukawa versus Takeru. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into that and let that be the focus of today's podcast. I'm going to go ahead and first start off with Rise World Series 2019 final round results. I will go ahead and go... I'll start towards the early part in the card and work myself up to Tenshin Nasukawa. One moment... Sorry about that. If some of you guys noticed a slight shift or silence, I just had problems with my notes, and I was moving them around, and then I got everything mixed up. So I stopped recording and then got everything back together. So back to where I was talking about, we are going to break down the Rise card. I'm going to go ahead and start with Riri Nasukura. She gets a victory over Mari Kamakaria, and I think that Riri will... unfortunately, have excitement behind her despite her skill level. I think that she's going to be a good fighter. I think that she's going to be very, very talented. But we've got to let time tell. You know, she's still a teenager, and we want to see what she's going to be down the road. But because her, you know, brother's out there flipping and, you know, jump kicking and spinning kick everybody, everyone's going to expect the same from her. And... she showed good flashes in her first fight, or in her last fight, but she ended up losing a decision because she didn't have the consistent work down. Here, she came out and she was able to win by head kick KO. She used her lead paw hand to manipulate the glove, and then she fired a high kick at the same time Mari was striking, and then the kick scored true KO victory by head kick for Riri. This is just going to add to people maybe rushing the gun a little bit on what she can do and what her... her abilities are. I think that she will be talented, and for all we know, she's going to be the greatest ever, you know. But whenever, you know, your brother's doing that, and then you come along, and then you're doing head kicks, and you're playing with a lot of the same confidence to try whatever. Because the people who are great at you know, fun techniques or flash techniques is what I like to call them. The people that are great at them just have the confidence that's going to land, and they just let it go. Like, they don't go thinking about, this is how I'm going to try to make this land. They usually just let it go. You're in position, and they let it go. She has that ability. But the great ones in this game win rounds. So as she moves forward, she's got to show me that she can win rounds. You're not going to be able to knock everybody out. Even when you show the flashes of knocking everybody out, like Erica Kimimura, even when you show the flashes that you can hurt people in that way, it's still to your benefit to just slowly get victories through your flash. Keep your flash, but you got to win rounds. You've got to score more consistent connects in a round than your opposition. So give Riri time to develop that, and don't jump the gun on her being, you know, the next superstar. Just let her be her. Kota Hiroki, Hiroka gets a victory over Momoko by extra round split decision. Yuki Kiyotani gets a victory over Azusa Kaneko. Knockout by punches in the second round. Good stuff by Yuki. Naoki gets a victory over Yoshimichi Matsumoto. 29-28 on all the cards there. Hideki gets a victory over Tatsuya Anashi. That was 29-28 all three times there. Black Panther, Bayana, I got to give you credit for that. Anybody that rocks the Black Panther nickname is always going to be fun. Gets a unanimous decision victory, scoring a knockdown in the extra round with his fight with Taperwan. Good stuff. A very talented guy who I'm glad they're using regular. And, of course, he's in the tournament, but I just like to see it. Taliesin Gomes-Fiera gets a victory over Yoshiishi Miyamoto. And I think this is the kind of fighter that you just want on your card. You know, you really want him. Exciting, brings a good fight, hits people and is hittable. I'm all in on him. I think that he's one of my favorite additions to this tournament field. But I'm glad that they're using him consistently. Good stuff by Ferreira. Sirkim, a legit stadium champion, gets a victory over Nikita Sapan. The body kick with the left leg. It wasn't just that Sirkim came out and scored a body kick stoppage. There was an aggression. There was something about him that was like, this guy has got to go. And it's very important to have that in fighting, in particular if you're a Thai. And I've said this for the years that I've been doing this show. The thing that you will most constantly hear me say, or something that you will most constantly hear me quote, is something that I had when Vinny Shorman was on my show. Vinny's like, if you're that much better than the guy, then get the guy out of there. If you are a Thai fighting on an international scene, because there is a community of people that love Muay Thai so much that they just want to see you win, they aren't as conscious of the entertainment value of the product. Because there are fighters from Thailand that are in far better fights in Thailand than when they fight international. Something in them makes them conservative when they get those opportunities, and then they choose to just get their hands raised. That's all they care about. For me, as a guy who's been in combat sports for a long time, in particular when it comes to something like, a Thai fighting international, there's always going to be a knock on them if they are just doing so great with throwing, you know, clean offense and avoiding offense coming back. They're playing the game. They've got the body kicks. They've got the movement. If something in them is happening like that, if they're having that kind of success, then at some period of time, realize this person can't catch you. Go ahead and get them out of there. Now, culturally, it's going to be different in Thailand. Thailand, you understand if the person across from you, this is what they do to feed their family and help their, you know, loved ones. So something in them, no matter what, is going to say, I've got the lead, I'm going to shut it down. Like, that's just part of how this game works. For me, and I guess everybody's, you know, got their opinions here, but for me, I really feel like I understand that thinking, but very few Thais get the opportunity to fight international. So if you get that opportunity, something in you should want to display, okay, this is why Thailand is stronger than everybody else. Something in you should want to not just win, but wipe the opposition out. That should be something that your management stresses. So I'll give you an example. In the America, our women's soccer team is extremely good. They're very good. They just won the World Cup again. They're very good. When they went against Thailand, they blew Thailand out. They scored, I don't know, 12 goals. I felt like it was 13 goals, but it might have been 10-0 or something like that, whatever. So afterwards, they're asking the girls, but the girls literally said, Thailand wouldn't feel like we were respecting them if we didn't, you know, give them everything we had, if we didn't run up the score, all that kind of stuff, whatever. But the point is, after the match was over, everybody was thinking, these girls are the best, and that's the problem. You know, like, that's the thing that we've got to worry about. So if a Thai gets an international opportunity, something in them should be like, oh no, you are just trying to do this sport. I've been living this sport since I was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. Sirkim gets this. He gets this. Something about him goes out there and tries to hurt people. Something about him goes out there and tries to get a stoppage with effective offense. This is the kind of Thai that has the ability to be a Bukau-type presence. You know, Rod Tang's another one. They have that ability to be that kind of a presence. It is vital that we get more individuals like that. So when Sirkim came out here, let his hands go. Really, I mean, he's chasing Nikita around the ring in round one. He has sent the message, you got to go. You know, I gotta put these tools to you. You got to go. Gets the body kick in there, wins by first round KO. I'm all about Sirkim. Kento Hirokuchi gets a victory over Chechien Lee, 30-27, yes, decision. Masahiko Suzuki gets a victory over Toki Tamura, extra round decision, 9-3. Oh my goodness, I feel like I have Wait a minute. I lost one of my notes. There was a disqualification on this card. That's what I'm trying to find. And what happened was there was a... I guess they called it because two hands went to the back of the head for a knee. I could be wrong. It could have been Crush. But I wanted to talk about that because it was Crush. So never mind. I'll get back to that later. Sorry, I had my notes mixed up. I apologize. Osawa was able to get a victory, even though his opponent pretty much beat him by knee KO. I'll get into that later. But anyways, back to it. Masahiko Suzuki gets a victory over Toki Tamura. Extra round decision, 9-3 there. Shiratori gets a victory over Jinke Umino. And one of the coolest stoppages you're going to see. Shiratori brought the offense right away. Scored in a flurry. Basically, Umino threw a kick. And then afterwards, he put together an offensive flurry, a combo. And then at the end of the combo, he landed a left hand as Umino was trying to bail, and that dropped him. When Umino got back to his feet, as clean as you can do it, and I teach this in my class, he throws 3-2, and the goal of the three is just to get the lead hand out of the way, shoots the left hand straight down the pipe, KO killer for 2G Shiratori. It's the kind of performance that takes notice, and this is your tournament final. You want to see this kid fight again. He's gone out there, 61 kgs, puts the tools to a guy, very, very talented. You want to see this type of success. You want to see this type of talent. This kid's good, man. This kid's good, and I want to see more from him. Hopefully they can build on it. 61 kgs, I'm assuming at some period of time he'll either drop down or go a little bit heavier, offer some different opportunities. 61 in itself has some guys, but not every guy, but definitely a good win for him. Tenzin Nasakura gets a victory over Shiro. The problem that I have with this is once Tenzin Nasakura started doing his thing, Shiro felt like he had to start doing the Tenzin Nasakura. So then it just turned into kind of not the most entertaining of fights, just for me personally. I think it's cool because Tenzin will still do something cool like rip a body kick, body punch, and then do a spinning hook kick off of it. Like he still puts together crazy combos like that. He really is a talent. Like this dude is freaking good. I think about it all the time. I go, man, this guy is so talented. This guy is so good. But the problem that I have with this, and if someone else plays the game with him as well, it doesn't add for the most entertaining of fight. And Tenzin Nasakawa really can do both. He can win the rounds, and he can kill people. So I'm a big fan of his. I'm hoping that his fights down the road do not look like this one, because I just thought that it was like dueling jump shots, you know what I'm saying? So other than that, I thought that the Rise tournament just in itself has been entertaining. The people who have been doing their best online, Kyle Johnson's one of them. There's a lot of people on Twitter who have put the effort in to make sure that we're getting these fights, whether through just the KOs or just through GIFs or just, you know, 3-minute clips from the fights. Shout out to all the people online doing their thing. So I'm going to go ahead and get into, I won't get into Crush full. You know, the main thing I wanted to talk about is just Leona Pettis and the role that he's on. And then the possibility of him possibly fighting Takuru one day. Because if, you know, there's going to be a fight, that would be the fight I would suggest for that weight class for people who are already under the K1 banner. But before I talk about that, I do want to take a small moment to talk about Fumoishi Osawa and his fight with Ziwei Wang. And I mentioned you before. It's basically they're into a punching exchange, and Wang gets behind the head, as light as you can get behind the head. Like, it wasn't a full, forearms, like, crushing in clinch, but he did, you know, if you want to argue the rules, he did have two arms are behind the neck, or behind the high back, you know, the back, the line of the shoulders. So, technically, he did have it. But Wang had landed such a clean, smooth knee that Osawa was just knocked out So then they've got to bring Osawa back, stand him up, tell him that he's won by disqualification, and why this guy is out of it. They then have him give him the trophy and have him stand in the ring, and he's still concussed. Not the best look. I wasn't a big fan of that. I would prefer that have not been the finish, but, you know, I really thought that it was a clean, you know, but that's the game. Like, that's the game, and they have their rules, and it's, I thought that it was clean. I really liked it. It was a combo behind it. He didn't hold it. I'm looking at it even as I talk to you guys. I thought that he did a good job. So, other than that, Yokoyama really had an awesome victory over Satami in this one, big time stoppage. I really liked how he put the hands together. He scored one shot off of a kick, and the rest of it was his mean boxing in the corner. I thought that one was really cool. There was a head kick KO on this card. It's just, you know, I just thought that it was good stuff all around. But the main thing is, Leona Pettis is the guy that you want to watch moving forward, because that kid's good, man. That kid's good, and he's a talented guy, and he will give Taku a run. So, going to go ahead and jump into the rumors as they were broken down on Twitter. So, one of the big ones that you hear is the super fight of Tenshin Nasukawa and Takura seem to build up each time one of these guys fight. And Takuru Tenshin in particular, he said something that I thought that it was interesting, but I want to talk about it from a business perspective, because it really does make sense business-wise. What he said was, let me get the quote here. He says that he wants to fight NK1. He wants to fight Takuru. But K1 keeps throwing him a multi-fight deal. And he's just looking for a one-off, I'm assuming. When you're a big organization like that, you know, UFC, Glory, K1, you know, Bellator, whoever, you cannot do one-fight super fights. You cannot put a product on with the goal is you're just going to watch for this one event, and then this individual or these individuals won't be here anymore. You cannot build your company that way. It is so important, and I don't want this to sound like it's horrible. I don't want people to think that it's horrible. I don't want people to think that I'm against the fight. I don't want people to think that this is so special that we really should just say, hey, for the fans, get all that stuff out of here. You know, don't talk about promotion versus promotion. For the fans, make one of the three biggest fights in all of kickboxing, you know, and for sure, the biggest fight in Japan. The biggest fight in Japan probably ever as far as kickboxing goes. So I definitely understand where people are coming from there. But as K1 is a company that's trying to have longevity, and they've done some things to make sure that their company is able to sustain and last for a very, very long time, I think that the goal of this company is to first and foremost make sure they protect themselves. And they cannot have Tenshin show up, win by KO, and then leave. At minimum, if he shows up and wins by KO, they need to promise their audience, you're going to see this guy two more times, you know? So it could be a one-year deal for three fights, you know? But they got to do a multi. It just, they've got to protect themselves. Now, I know as fans, you guys don't want me to say that, but we are in a new era of kickboxing. The super fight in kickboxing is new because we're a tournament-based league, and then all the best fights happened when the best guys fought each other in the past. So there was no the scarcity of this not happening. And now that's combat sports in general. For those who are frustrated with Takuru and Tenshin not fighting already, do understand that the makeup of how combat sports have worked forever is under the idea that it might not happen, but man, it's going to, you know, it's just one of those things. So you look at even before it happened, and again, you know, we're fans, we're not going to be satisfied with anything. People wanted Canelo to fight Triple G, and he did. And then they didn't like the results, so people wanted them to do it again, and he did. and they didn't like the results, and now they're asking for a third one. Or some people like the results, and people got different views. But the thing is, there's something about it, it's not going to happen, that made it that much more exciting. Now, again, you can wait too long, which you saw with Pac and Mayweather, where the build-up was fine. I personally thought that the fight would have been huge if they'd done it years earlier when Pac was still in his prime. But late, he still has glimpses of greatness, but he's different. And, you know, Mayweather's very smart. So for all I know, Mayweather waited it out. Like, he had lost two and two. And he was knocked out by the time, right before the fight with Mayweather. So he had lost momentum before that fight had happened. But Mayweather, business-wise, waited till the moment, waited till he needed a big check. Now, this is business for him, too, because Showtime had that big lucrative deal with him, and then he lost money on some of the fights that he took. So he needed that big fight to make it worth their while to be doing that contract in the first place. I bring that fight up, and I bring those details up so you guys can understand there is a scarcity of this is the fight to happen, and it doesn't happen when we want it to happen. It takes a little while. And I know some people like, I don't want one guy to get too old, and I don't think it's going to happen in that way. But I do think there is a really, really big argument for it's going to take longer than we want because a lot of I's and T's have got to be crossed. You know, I's got to be dotted, T's got to be crossed before we can get there. It's just tougher. So people should understand that. But we're kickboxing fans, and we're fans of anything. We don't understand stuff. We want stuff. We want things to look a certain way. And we want the best two Japanese kickboxers to get in there. I think that it's going to happen. I'll go ahead and say it. I think that at some period of time, these two are going to meet for sure. But man, do I understand that K1 has got to protect themselves and say, hey, we can do this, but I got to offer you a multi-fight. I understand it. Because of this, like always, and you see it, in particular, you see it in mixed martial arts, there is a group of people that are developing underneath this banner, and they are the guys you're going to be looking out for quite some time. Leona Pettis, who's had some, he's developed the most consistency in his K1 run right now. He's out there, and he's winning, and the idea of him fighting Takeru would be awesome. He's got the tools to give a really good fight, in particular because Takeru has no problem getting hit. And so he's going to put on a great fight, and it's something that we want to see. So someone asked on Twitter, I believe that was Karev who asked me on Twitter, but he asked the question, is it just that Takeru is asking for this fight that he knows isn't going to happen or isn't going to happen anytime soon? Is this all being done simply because the chance of him fighting someone tougher that's already under the banner is higher, and he doesn't want that fight? He wants to preserve himself until this big fight comes. Now, unfortunately, long history of that in kickboxing, too. Long history of that in combat sports, where, Bisping recently in mixed martial arts sat out for pretty much a year waiting on the GSP fight, and they lost. But, like, he thought that it was the big fight. So then he said he's going to come back and fight this guy. Lo and behold, he's got some injuries. The injuries drag it out. He gets the fight he wants a year later. Once he had the fight, we all realized probably not the fight to take. But, like, it's just he got what he wanted down the road. So the question is Takeru doing something similar to that? There's all these, you know, prospects that are very talented that he could, you know, that Bisping could have been fighting at 85. But he waited out for the big opportunity. Is Takeru going against guys who he probably has an advantage over and beating them clean, beating them by KO? Is he doing that in hopes of preserving himself until the Tenshin Nasukawa fight comes? And by doing that, is he making things harder on guys like Nicholas Pettis? So, as I mentioned before, we just got to, you know, let a lot of this stuff play out and understand that that's how the game will always be. The thing that's been the biggest struggle about us moving into the single fight, super fight era and leaving the tournament field era is the tournament field, even if you feel like all the best person doesn't always win in tournaments, you do feel like the best matchups always happen in tournaments. a fight that you didn't think was going to fight. Not only does it happen in a tournament, it happens in a tournament a lot, you know. The way the K-1 World Grand Prix structure was, is if you were one of the eight that was in the tournament the year before, you didn't have to re-earn that spot. You just had to fight your way back into the tournament field. So you got a first round to the elimination for getting there the year before. That meant those top guys probably represented at least, you know, eight of the best 15 in the world. So at least go ahead and add eight new faces, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you got 16 fighters competing, you know, and again, mix them up how you will, to get into the eight. And then that eight was a really good representation of the best in the world. So then you've got Arts fighting LeBanner several times, and LeBanner fighting Hoog several times, and Hoog fighting Hoog several times. And that's what happened. You know, that's what happened to the sport. So for those of you who grew up or fell in love with kickboxing between, you know, 95 and 2000 and, you know, 8, you only know the best fighting the best because they were in a tournament. So it was going to happen no matter what. Here we are moving into the single and super fight era, and we got a fight, and we're used to getting what we want in kickboxing. But it doesn't look like this particular time it's going to happen in the timing that we want. The only thing I ask is that we would be patient and realize it's something that is, I feel very confident, will happen one day. I will even go ahead and put a scale on it and say I don't think it will be more than 2 years before it happens. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened next year. K-Festa, don't rule that out. But it is the fight to make in the sport for kickboxing, in particular for Japan kickboxing. So I think that it's going to happen. And as far as those people like Leona Pettis that are on the outside looking in, like Rod Tang, who, I mean, he's not with them anymore. He's with ONE. But how much would he would like another opportunity at Tenshin Nasukawa? Like, these guys are legit outside looking in. And I'm really, really excited for a lot of these athletes. And it should be a lot of fun. So I think that they will be fine, though. Opportunities will come. They'll keep getting wins. And then the next thing you know, I think either before or after the super fight happens, they're going to have their moment. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show with the K-1 has announced their November 24th show. We already knew about it. Some of the fights are popping up. I'm a big fan of this because K-1 is going to be in Yokohama. And I had the wonderful pleasure of watching the K-1 World Grand Prix at the Yokohama when I went there. What was that? 2008? I'm old, so I'm trying to remember. But, like, I had the pleasure to go see that and see that arena. And I'm excited that, you know, K-1's doing their thing. Raul Menard's going to go get Chris Bradford. It's one of the cool things about having a whole bunch of Facebook friends. I actually found out about this fight well before it was announced because Chris Bradford and his team, like, posted the moment that, you know, they signed. Raul Menard, super talent, big-time kickboxer. This is a big moment for Chris. We'll see what he can do with it. It should be a lot of fun. Jordan Piquet is going to get the Kondo Casey. Jordan Piquet is the Terminator of, you know, the 67.5 kg, you know, weight class. He's just so big and strong for the weight class. He's big and strong at 170, but you can beat him with technique and skill and timing. Right now, he's just able to just eat everything and keep going. Masaki Nori hit him all right, hurt him even, but Jordan was able to stand up to it. And when Jordan starts throwing, he's so big and strong, you really are defending to save yourself. You know, he's a strong kid. So Jordan Piquet, and we've got Hayashi Kenta gets a fight against Kaneko Dekai, and then Takuro is matched against Morikoshi Yuta. So fun start. Other big fights coming. Should be an interesting one. I mean, I'm always glad whenever big-time kickboxing is doing big-time things. K-1 is having a solid year once again. New stars are always important for both brands, so we'll see what happens with Pettis. Crush, of course, their consistency and their matchmaking has helped them to, even though he's not beating elite guys, we really got to credit Crush and we got to credit K-1 for their matchmaking for Minoru, because he has definitely turned things around after being considered the strong punching heavy, you know, heavy hitter for the smaller divisions. He had some down periods, and now in the last year and a half, you're starting to see those stoppages again. So they're really, really doing good stuff. So Outside of that, Glory announced an event for Lyon. It's going to be Mirtho Grunhart and Doumbé. I was there for the last installment of this fight. It was here in America, and it wasn't the cleanest of fights. You know, it was a little bit nasty, and it was a lot of clinching, and clean offense was tough to come by, and it could have gone either way. It was not a pretty fight. But, a couple years later, year and a half later, not only is Doumbé beating people, but he's finding his stoppage, and he's really, really putting people on their butt. He scored a knockout or knockdown in like, what, 5 or 6 fights in a row or something like that. He's doing really good. You know, Alim Dabayev stopped. You know, Mrakagorian stopped. He is on fire. Mirtho Grunhart also doing good. Muhammad Draya, definitely out of his weight class. Didn't matter. They were talking trash, had good back and forth. Grunhart did the Grunhart. Was able to get him out of there. Again, Grunhart, another opportunity after that, wins. He is in a good place. These are two violent dudes. Should be a really, really good fight. I'm excited about that matchup, and we'll kind of see where we go from there. And then the return of Zakaria Zoghori, as he's going to go against Izbiri, and that will be all action, fireworks, kickboxing at its best. Really, really excited about that. The rest of the card will be coming later. A lot of you guys know that I work in talent ops for Glory Kickboxing, but this is just the sport at its best. I'm excited to see what comes from this. So thank you all for your time. Really, really pay attention to kickboxing. Pay attention to the guys who are in the forums, posting on a regular basis. Really do your best to support this sport and follow these athletes. I'm grateful for everyone who's in kickboxing. God bless, and thank you for listening to my podcast. All right, bye.